Today I'm going to take you to the book of Acts. I'm going to start in verse 6. Now the readings all the way down to 21, we won't read all of it because I'm going to leave some of that for your homework, your own home study. I would honestly read this. It's a thing you may never have thought about. He's only mentioned once in the entire Bible. But we're going to mention about a young man here. Now, this is Paul. He's getting ready to sail. He's sailing through Macedonia. You know, he's sailing all through the Greece area. It's amazing. He sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread. So that's after the Passover. And 5 days later, he joined the others at Troas, where he stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave on the next day, he kept talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down and threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "He is alive." And he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Now, you can keep reading the rest of that later for your study, but I'm going to start right here. Eutychus fell asleep in church. During church. And he woke up dead. Now, why was Eutychus at church that night, and what can we learn from this experience that we sitting here today can apply to your lives? Think about this. Someone once noted, falling asleep is often had unforeseen consequences. Adam fell asleep and woke up married and missing a rib. Samson fell asleep and woke up bald and beaten. Jonah fell asleep and woke up in a boat and wet. Eutychus fell asleep and he woke up dead. Now, like Eutychus, people have been falling asleep in church for centuries. In the early 1600s, American churches had an official they called the tithing man. Their job was to maintain religious order in the community, and they made sure that people attended church and behaved themselves there. One of the most visible roles of a tithing man was keeping people awake in church. They would walk around carrying a wand of their office, which was a long rod with foxtails and feathers tied to one end and a knob on the other end. They tickled the faces of sleeping women and girls, and with the knob, they wrapped the heads of dozing men and boys. That was the role of a tithing man in the 1600s. Look it up. How many of you knew that they had a tithing man in the 1600s? How many of you would have filled that role? How many of you would have fallen asleep in church or have dozed at one time? Think of it. If you're a guy, you're going to get wrapped in the head. So lots of people fall asleep in church. It happens. But when Eutychus fell asleep, he woke up dead. The Apostle Paul arrived at Troas 6 days before, and he was kind of on his way somewhere, but while he was in Troas, he wanted to worship with the church there. Now, it's Sunday night, and the church was meeting in a third-story room of a building. Acts 20, verse 7 tells us they'd met for communion on Sunday on the first day of the week. Now, that's Sunday. When we were gathered together breaking bread, and that's communion. Paul talked with them and intended to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Now, there's a few things to notice here. First, the church at Troas was meeting on Sunday night, not Sunday morning, at like Western churches would, like you and I do. Because back then, Sunday night worship was normal. In that culture, Christians did not get Sunday off. Sunday was not part of a weekend. It was the first day of the week. Just like we go to work on Mondays because it's the first day of the work week. They worked on Sundays. The first day of their work week was Sunday. So Sunday night worship was normal. Sunday night was the only time they could all get together and worship. Now, Eastern churches, this is one of the cave church in Egypt, right? And many churches in Egypt still meet on Sunday night. That's their planned meeting. Our churches in Egypt actually do, our standard church, Wesleyan churches, do a morning and evening service to accommodate work schedules. They don't get Sunday off in Egypt. Sunday is not a day off. Now, the Coptic church that meets here, that's a picture of the Coptic church that meets here on Sunday night. They meet each night for worship. That is their normal. Now, meeting at night might have been inconvenient, but for them it wasn't a matter of convenience. It was a matter of honoring Jesus and loving Jesus. So they met at night. Secondly, they met on Sunday night to take communion. That was the primary reason they got together. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 tells us on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, they were gathered together to break bread. That's communion. So why meet on Sunday to take communion? Why not meet on Tuesday or Thursday or Fridays? Well, because Sunday was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. So Christians gather on Sundays to celebrate our risen Savior, and the main focus of worship in that time was communion. Now, an early church father named Justin Martyr, they called him Justin Martyr because he was martyred, killed for his faith, in the year 165 AD. And he wrote this about Sunday service in his day. On the day called Sunday, all who lived in the cities or the country gathered together in one place, and the memories and the memorials of the apostles or the writings of the prophet were read. And when our prayer ended, bread and wine and water were brought. They mixed the wine and the water before drinking it, and there was distributed to each. And they would do well and willing and give heed and give fit thanks. And the world takes care of those who are in need. But Sunday, he wrote, is the day on which we hold all our common assemblies because Jesus Christ, our Savior, that same day rose from the dead. Now that's from a book that they call The First Apology, and it's chapter 67 if you want to look it up. And that's where it's from. Now, here you got a map. This church in Troas met on Sunday night to take communion, just like dozens of other churches across the region. And what they did was to honor Jesus and worship. Now, ordinarily, they would probably have a local leader teach them about Jesus. But tonight they got a special guest. The Apostle Paul was there. So they let him preach. And he preached. And he preached. And he preached. Until midnight. Off to one side, sitting in a windowsill, is a young man named Eutychus. He's been working all day, and he's getting drowsy. And he falls asleep, and he falls out the window. And he falls down three stories to the pavement below, and he dies. But the guest preacher, being Paul, goes down and raises Eutychus from the dead. And everybody goes back upstairs, and Paul preaches until sunrise. Hey, if we raise somebody from the dead, you ain't going home. And that's the story. Now I've got a question, and I really want you to chew on it for a moment. What was Eutychus doing there that night? Now I need you to chew on this. Why did he even show up? Now I do extensive research, believe it or not, on sermons I preach every week. I go hunt for stuff. And in my research, I hit a pop-up link to a site that I don't normally go to. But I clicked on it just to see what they were talking about. I knew it was going to be crazy right off the start, but I went there just to see. Now, in fairness, these are not normally the people I look to, and I will probably never go back to this site. But they're out there. There's some really weird things out there. And on this site, I found a repeated theme. Duh. That almost all these sermons had a theme in the story of Eutychus. And this denomination had their theme was, Eutychus was at fault that he fell out the window. They actually preached that from the pulpit. Some preachers even tried to tie the story of Eutychus to warn us about the dangers of falling asleep. Okay, if I can't speak loud enough that you don't fall asleep in church, I'm in trouble, okay? Modern day preachers said this message focused on urging the body to stay awake during the preaching of the gospel. Another preacher spoke how the windowsill as being the window of opportunity. And where he got that from, don't know. But then he quoted Ephesians chapter 4:26, and he says, give no window of opportunity to the devil. In a couple of sermons I read here, right, they even hinted that Eutychus had a spiritual problem. Like I told you, I'm never going back there again, but they were out there. And they quote a passage of like 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, let us not fall asleep as others do, but keep us awake and sober. For those who sleep at night and for those who get drunk are at night. And since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith, love. And then they love quoting Romans. Every one of them quoted Romans, which says, we know what hour it is and how full the time is for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is now nearer than it was before. And Ephesians 5:4, they quoted that, right? Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Now, those are all good thoughts from the Bible. And they're all good passages. But as you look at the entire events, what's happening in the book of Acts, they're misapplied. Now, I'm going to get a sidebar here and get off the thing. That's why we tell you to always check this out. A minister, if he misapplies scripture, can make anything sound good. You have to look at the context it comes in and the scripture. That's why we tell you where we're going, how we're getting it. Because to misapply scripture is leading you down the wrong road. And I would not do that. Because I'm accountable for what I do to God. That's why I said I'm not going back to site. But they were misapplied. The modern day preachers of this site felt falling asleep, he wasn't committed enough to God. It was as if they viewed Eutychus as being the patron saint of falling asleep in church. In short, many of the sermons applied that Eutychus was just putting in his time and wasn't really serious about his faith. In fact, he probably wasn't committed to God at all. And I got a problem with that. And I'm going to explain to you why I have a problem with that and that kind of thinking. And I'm going to set the stage for what I'm saying here now. Now, I'm going to start off by bragging about this congregation to set the stage. Bear with me here now. Back when I started preaching here, it was August 99, we didn't have the sanctuary it looks like now. Mm-mm. The building was its present size, but the sanctuary that we're sitting in wasn't its present size, right? Back in that corner where there was a sound booth, there was a bathroom. That's why the things go up there that way. And we didn't have the welcome center. If you look back there in the back, there's two different colored woods, and that was the whole welcome center. And there was a set of stairs going down there, right? Large stairs. And all the sanctuary room was just this up front area, about two-thirds. Nobody came to this church because they loved the building. They came because they loved Jesus and they loved each other. Now, if you're, I'm going to get sidetracked here, right? I know I'm going to get sidetracked, but bear with me. Some of you, if you look in the where the Bibles and the hymnals go, you'll see bright orange carpet. In 1970s, they put in bright orange carpet. That was the color was in here at one time. And it was the proper color for that time. Things change. We modernize, right? Now you got to bear with me. We didn't have the welcome center. The sanctuary room was all we really had, right? They came because they loved Jesus. And they came because they loved each other. They came because they found a family. They spent time in worship. Now, we've got a pretty sanctuary, but it's not fancy. It's practical. And we've done things to our make our worship time welcoming. There's classrooms downstairs. There's a full-time fellowship hall downstairs. There's the wonderful welcome center. We have hearing assisted. We have video and podcasts on the internet. That's why you stand to sing, right? We've even cut the pews back for wheelchairs so they're not out in the aisles or walkers. Because we should have that. We got PowerPoint slides. Instead of the old, we used to have a plastic thing with put your hand in front, you know, those old projector things, right? And we have wonderful music. We've done everything we can do to make a person's church experience enjoyable and welcoming and convenient. But you know, Eutychus didn't go to his church to worship because it was convenient and welcoming. He came because he loved Jesus. Now, how do I know that? First, he had just gotten off work. Let's be real. He'd worked long and hard, and now I'll just use the word exposed, to a 2 or 3 hour sermon. If I hit 3 hours, how many of you are going to be asleep? Okay? Is it going to put almost anybody to sleep? And secondly, he walked to the meeting place, and it's a third-story walk-up. There's no elevator. There's no handicap accessibility. There's no donuts. There's no coffee. There's no orange juice. It is not a seeker-friendly atmosphere. It is a Jesus-friendly atmosphere. Eutychus and everybody else who was there had come because they wanted to be there. He loved Jesus, and that's why he was there. He could have stayed home. He'd worked all day. It's the first day of the week. Now, Warren Wiersbe of the Moody Bible Institute and the Bible Answer Man shares, to begin with, they met on the first day of the week, and not on the seventh day of the week was the Sabbath. The church met in the evening because Sunday was not the holiday during which people were free all day. Some believers, he wrote, would no doubt slaves and unable to come to assembly until their work was done. Believers met in an upper room because they had no church building in which to gather. This room may have been a private home of one of the believers. The assembly would have had a cosmopolitan group, but the social and national distinctions made no difference because they were all one in Christ. That is, those words are recorded in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. They were all one in Christ. It changes everything when that happens. Now I'm going to probably step on a few toes. And that's okay because that's my job. And if you don't want your toes stepped on, move them when it comes. But here's the question. Why are you here? We know Eutychus. was at worship because he loved Jesus. But why are you here? Are you here because you love Jesus, or is it just a ritual for you? Now, I'm going to give you this love letter that I read about this young man. A young man wrote a love letter to his girlfriend. You know that thing called penmanship and cursive writing that we no longer do, you know? If you wrote in cursive, none of the young kids could read it right now. And then he wrote, "I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest river, and cross the wildest ocean, and crawl across the burning desert just to be with you." And he wrote a number of other great loving things in his letter to his sweetheart. You know that thing you put a stamp on a mail, right? Oh, he wrote, it was really wonderful. But then, he put a PS at the bottom of his letter. "I'll be over Friday if it's not raining." Now wait a minute, he just written his girlfriend that he climbed the highest mountain, swim the deepest river, cross the wildest ocean, crawl across the burning desert to be with her. But it's raining on Friday, and he's not going to show up. What's wrong with this picture? Does he really love her as much as he says he does? No. Now here's the toe stepper. If you really love Jesus, would you do whatever you had to do to worship him on Sunday? If the building burnt down, would you be willing to go to the park? Or to some empty downtown building where we could gather together to take communion? Because that's what the church in Troas did. They met in a third story walk-up just to take communion together. Do you love Jesus so much that you'd climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest river, cross the wildest ocean, crawl across the burning desert to gather with other Christians to take communion with them? Because that's what Eutychus did. Eutychus loved Jesus so much that when he got off from work, after working all day, he climbed those three sets of stairs to meet the church and take communion with brothers and sisters in Christ. He had come to worship. Have you? Now, I've got a couple more thoughts. First, someone noted that this is the only time that Eutychus is mentioned in Scripture. Now, then there's someone, I can't remember his name, so I can't give him credit, but he had a good thought. Then he said, "Imagine looking down from heaven upon this earth and knowing that the only thing you'll ever be remembered for is falling asleep in church." And the guy was right. The only time Eutychus' name is mentioned in the Bible is this. But his name is there. There are a lot of people who lived in those times who didn't get in the Bible. But his name is there. Why? Well, the Apostle Paul said that when we had chose to observe the Lord's Supper on Sunday, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. His words are recorded also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In other words, every time we take communion, we are confessing to the world that Jesus is Lord. That's what Eutychus came to do that Sunday night. He came to confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus promised, "Whoever shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Oh, I love those words. Those words are found in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 32. Look them up later. Let me say them again. Whoever confesses, whoever therefore confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, love those words. Eutychus came that night to confess that Jesus was that by taking the act of communion. Jesus confessed Eutychus' name because of that. But did you know that Eutychus, if he hadn't shown up for worship that night, his name might have never been known. More than that, if he had not shown up to worship that night, he would have missed out on a life-changing event. Think about this. Think about it now. Eutychus comes to worship with the church, and because he loves Jesus and he falls asleep and falls down to death three stories below. And then what happens? Eutychus is laying there dead on the pavement. The Apostle Paul comes running out on the stairs, throws himself on him, and he brings him back to life. And what do you think Eutychus is going to do the next day? That's right, Jay. He's going to go tell everybody. He's going to go home and tell his family what happened. He's going to go to work and tell all those men what God did for him at church. He's going to talk to his unsaved family and friends. And he's going to say, do you know what God did for me last Sunday? He's got a powerful testimony now, all because he showed up on Sunday. And he'd have missed all that if he'd stayed home. So now, talking to the internet people, right? Because we have lots of people that watch us on the internet. You have to have a church home. We love that you watch us on the internet. But watching us on the internet does not replace a church family. And if you think it does, just read the Bible, you're foolish. Okay? So everybody on the internet, you need a church home. For all you here, you got a church home. Let me share with you some excitement. We're blessed beyond blessing. We have a wonderful building. We have all sorts of stuff going on. We have things going on that we didn't even plan going to happen. A football team showed up wrong. They got the wrong address. So they came here and they decided they want to stay. Bismarck Youth Football League. They had their first game yesterday. The Broncos, which they are, faced the 49ers. I looked up the internet to see who won. And the Bismarck Youth Football League didn't post that. I was going to tell you who won. Don't know. They're 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids. They go out here and they just showed up. And some of you know this already. And we just said yes. He asked if he could stay. Sure. Be my guest. Use it all. We have grandparents come down here and play all the time. Last night, there was a grandparent out here teaching their grandson or granddaughter, I couldn't tell, had a helmet on, right? And how to ride a bicycle. Around and around and around. That's what it's for. They bring kids down to the playground. We got some kids out here running, learning how to play golf. Their grandparent. Now, he walks with a cane worse than me, right? But when he gets that golf club in his hand, he can knock it. And they got a long shot here. They come down and play golf. We have a gentleman who trains dogs out here. Three of the best behaved German Shepherds you ever saw. He tells them to lay down, they're down. I say hi to them all. A couple of them I'm going to figure out how to get to church somehow. But you know something? It isn't just always getting them to church. It's showing the love of God to everyone. We have a testimony. God's made us different. We don't go out and yell and scream when somebody's using the property. We're like, okay, be my guest. Have some fun. Because we've been blessed. The question is, do you realize the blessing you receive from the Lamb of God? And if you truly understand what you've received, you can't help but worship. And it becomes more than just a penny. Am I making sense? He doesn't care what you did in your life. He didn't care what happened. Final thing I'm going to share. The first canonized saint was Demetrius. He was the thief who hung on the cross. First person the church ever recognized was a good person, was the thief who hung on the cross, Demetrius. It was an amazing thing about that. Paul didn't make it, none of the apostles made it, it was Demetrius, the man who hung beside Jesus, who they recognized. He was a thief, he was a murderer, he said he justly deserved his punishment. He was cursing Jesus when Jesus came up to the cross. He would join with the other thief, but something changed in his heart. He did not even have the courage to ask for salvation. He had said, please remember me when you get to your Father. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He couldn't do anything churchy. He couldn't come down. He couldn't do any of that. God saved him. By the grace of God, he was saved. Not by works, not by doing any church action. And we sometimes forget grace. Because we got to stay busy, right? Got to do stuff. But grace is a wonderful word. Now, there's some really great goodies out there that are calling your name. They were made with love. And what's my favorite saying? There's no calories in church. That is not true. But it's the only way I can justify eating all I want to eat. So we need to close in prayer so you guys go have some fellowship. Let's close. Our Heavenly Father, this young man is mentioned one and one only time, but he is mentioned. Oh, what a testimony he had. He was tired and wore out. He was hot in a hot climate. And he fell asleep. His head started bobbing and he fell asleep. But you used it for your good. You used it for the goodness of your kingdom. Thank you for what you can do in us, Father. Through your grace, we have been saved. And all God's people said, amen.